Hey, everybody, Code Pen Radio. We're going to talk about, as we're approaching halfway through the fabulous year of 2026. You see how positive I'm being? Oh, my gosh. It's such a great year. Marie is with me. Hi, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
It's a great year for one reason, is that we have this new 2.0 editor that's, I can see a PR that removes the beta label on it.
Nice.
We're not quite at launch yet. We're kind of like gearing up to that because we want to like hold all our cards for a big nice launch thing. But yeah, we're doing like little baby steps to get to the official launch, feeling really good about it. But we're not here to talk about that. And in fact, I'd say that very few, I do see a couple of these pens that we're going to talk about that are part of big trends this part of the year. Marie is great at this, at identifying what's going on and being in touch with like the popular stuff from the community. Most of them are not yet made by the 2.0 editor, probably, right?
The bulk of them are in the classic editor, in part because, we're only a couple months into 2.0 even being available. A lot of these pens that have become popular had the advantage of getting started early in the year, so they rack up a lot of popularity, but also they just couldn't have been 2.0 pens because it didn't exist.
It didn't exist then? Oh, yeah. That's wild. That's hilarious. I know almost for sure that everybody on this list has played with it, though. That's good. That makes me feel good. Anyway, obviously, that's what's on my mind, but I'm shifting my mind's focus to the trends of 2026, because I do find this stuff fascinating. So thank you very much for putting this together and proposing this podcast, because it's going to be awesome. What is one of them? When you think about trends, one of the ways you organize it is to like, what type of thing is popular? This is not on the list, but sometimes it's like buttons are like forever popular because it's just a cool like thing to play with. But honestly, I've seen less of that lately.
There has been a little bit less of like the standalone UI element. That was huge for a while. And actually, I think that could come back. I think it's not as common for people to really do standout UI elements anymore. I miss those. I think those were really cool.
I know. They seem like anti-AI too, in a way, don't they? They seem like, your AI would never.
In a little way. Yeah. That's kind of funny that you bring that up, because I think one thing that we are seeing that is probably related to the trends in AI are like full complete pages rather than focusing on individual elements. Like if you, for example, are doing a CodePen challenge, a lot of the time, even if the prompt is relatively small, you'll get in the entries to the challenge full pages. So I do think people are enabled to create more, I guess we could say.
Yeah. I think we can talk about that more later, but I do know, like, I get it, because I think it's people that use, I think even Claude Code, the desktop app, but definitely the website, they want to, while you're using Claude, this is not like the CLI tool that developers use to work on their existing code base. It's just like, you go to Claude and you say, hey, compare these three kinds of Reeboks. I'm trying to buy them. And then your next prompt is, I need a rainbow and CSS, like it's just prepared for any crap you're about to ask it. If you ask it about the CSS rainbow, what it wants to do is show you it, because it's so much more impressive when you look at the rainbow that it's created in CSS. That's kind of why we made CodePen, because it's really satisfying to see the output of code, not just like be like, here it is, give it a test and let me know. They want to freaking show it to you. Of course they do. Which is why they should talk to CodePen more often on the phone with me. But anyway, what they do is they produce a complete HTML document, and then they just show it in an iframe. And then they're like, oh, cool, do you want it? And people are like, yeah, I want it. And they copy and paste it. And they're like, well, I need to put it somewhere so I can like show people or whatever people use CodePen for. Whatever they use CodePen for, and they just paste in the whole document. They're not like, oh, let me break this into little pieces or whatever. I will say the 2.0 editor is much more friendly to that approach, by the way. But anyway, yes, you're right. AI stuff is like just a copy and pasted document, like a lot.
Yeah. And it creates some bulk that maybe isn't necessary. to move away from that and move into the things that are interesting.
Yeah. And okay. So less buttons, although there is like there is one on here. So stay tuned, people.
Yeah.
There is one, but your first one, which I think is absolutely a trend and a fascinating one right now, is galleries, right?
Yes. Yeah. Galleries or carousels, you know, just photos in an arrangement that the viewer can like navigate through. But the thing that I think is really interesting in particular about the galleries that are getting attention this year are that they all move in like unusual directions. Like, for example, one of the biggest pens of the year so far was made by Anna Tudor, who is an absolute treasure of the Code Pen community. Every time I bring up Anna Tudor, I just want to say how amazing her work is. She's an unbelievable front-end developer. But
Very clever and prolific. And then she explains what she's doing. And very, certainly a unique mind here on planet Earth. What's up, Anna? You're great.
Incredibly generous with her knowledge. She's always out there answering questions on Reddit. I see her on social media all the time, answering people's questions with brilliant pieces of code. And so this actually was one of those. She made an animated carousel that is like concave, so it's kind of you see it like as if it's on the other side of a circle, you know, on the other side of a sphere,
right? Like what's that, like screen X at movie theaters where they like put the cut some of the movie to the left and the right of you as well as in front of you. Mm-hmm. Or wait, here it is. You go to like the fair, you're a kid in the 90s, and you go to the fair and you buy these tickets and you go into the one that spins and smashes you against the wall, the Gravitron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
you're in the booth at the Gravitron, and instead of people on the edges, it's like pictures of jellyfish.
Yes. Yeah. It's super cool. And that one, I would not be surprised if that one's number one, although the year is still young. We still got plenty of time for people to get on the top 100.
It did it. It like escaped containment. I don't know why that phrase is stuck in my mind, but I had a tweet that like way too many people, not a tweet. I'm not on Twitter. Jeez. Don't judge me.
Damn right.
A blue sky thing. Like way too many people responded to, you know, and I think they call that escapes containment when like people that are absolutely not in your circle are like commenting on. I feel like I guess we used to call that going viral. I guess maybe that's a more normal way to say it. But this pen has a freaking lot of views and hearts.
Yes. I mean, Anna is an absolute star of CodePen, so it's not a shock to me that it's popular. But this one is a runaway.
Yeah. Hit. Like I wonder how much she even cares. You know, like is she shooting for popularity? I think she's probably more interested in like novelty and interesting and good cross-browser solutions to problems. That's what it seems like she's
into. That's, you know, that's the other thing that's worth pointing out here. This is a solution. This is not just a demo that kind of works in certain circumstances. This will work. This is rock solid. And that is the magic of Anna Tudor. But that's just one of the examples.
It is just one example. I would point out with galleries, there's a really interesting piece of technology that dropped around carousels or galleries or whatever that came from Chrome that was like, now you can do this in CSS alone. Because a lot of times what you think of as a carousel is you're like looking at one in a row and you like click a button of some kind and it slides to the next one. Like, okay, great. Even though that can be done a million different ways and a million different beautiful ways. And Anna's example here of her carousel could have buttons on it. It happens not to. It happens to just run, you know, which is also obviously totally fine. But what Chrome dropped was these like a whole collection of new CSS stuff that like literally add buttons to the page that adjust the scroll position. So kind of for the first time, you could make pretty interactive full-featured carousels with no JavaScript at all. A lot of times you think of click a button to move scroll position is definitely like pretty much a JavaScript concept. I mean, I know it can sort of be done with like jump links and stuff like that, but like they really like upped the bar of what was possible with carousels. And what's so interesting to me is like that is cool and I've played with it. And I know there was a little controversy around it and stuff, but most of these are not that. Like carousels, despite a technological drop from Chrome and like the web community writ large, is not that. Anyway, what's some more of these?
So the next one that I have on the list here is really interesting. This one's called Six Faces / Walking the Cow, and it's a gallery, but it's a cube that as you scroll turns in different directions. And this one actually is an interesting piece to me because it seems to be a piece about working with AI. Louis Lazrain does lots of stuff that I think is hybrid of his own development creativity and then maybe a little pinch AI here and there. But this one is a very interesting exploration of what happens when you kind of let it do its thing and let it screw up. The text in the gallery kind of explains what it's all about, and I don't want to give that away. I want people to check this one out for themselves. But it's really cool because it is a cube flipping as you scroll instead of, you know, what you would normally expect from a gallery or a carousel, which would just be a more linear display of the images.
This is like insane. It's so cool.
Isn't it?
I know I've seen it before, but it's nice to be reminded of these because a couple of things I think of. One is like, sure, there's some AI involved here. In fact, you can immediately what I call smell it because the typography has this like, oh, it's an all caps headline. Yeah, the super tiny subhead on the headers will do it every time for me. It's like, how many people use subheaders this much? Jeez, lay off, you know? But that's so you might see it in I don't know, depending on how AI fried your brain is, you might write this off. Do not. It's so good. It has scrolling dots. The 3D effect is amazing. It's got like scroll snapping, but just a little bit, and it's tasteful. It's got light and dark mode. That's sometimes an AI tell too, where it like puts in features that you don't even ask for and stuff.
Yeah.
Just incredible, beautiful work though. And I'll tell you, I just happened to open it and my editor was like really wide and really squat, narrow, and it looks perfect on it. So there's clearly a lot of work put into the responsive nature of like, this will work on any screen at any size kind of thing, which is tricky. AI is not particularly good at that. The CSS is layered. The JS is organized. The HTML is semantic. It's like on point.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is rock solid. And I will say, if you like that pen, you have to see the rest of his work. He's doing really, really interesting things.
Fantastic. Please do. Well, I mean, obviously this will all be in the show notes. Please come and enjoy.
Yeah, we have a collection that'll be in the show notes that has every single one of these pens that we're talking about.
A little bit of similarity here to the next one from Nidal.
Yeah, the animated slider. This one is really cool. This one, I think, kind of feels like when you're looking through photos, like when you're actually looking through a stack of photos manually, they just kind of slide up and down out of view. But it's just, I don't know, it's just got like a cool, friendly look to it. And I like also, as each of the photos scrolls into view, the text accompanying it, the heading, also scrolls in or out, and it kind of rolls in a way that's really nice.
Yeah, letter by letter. So, but it's not monospace, which I think is kind of classy too. You know, you might think of a rolling effect like an odometer has rolling because that's just how they work. This is like that, but isn't, you know?
Yeah, it's just a nice sans serif. Yeah.
Very classy. Really cool. Very classy. Yeah. So the photos that you're not seeing are behind and they're blurred and faded just a little bit, which is classy. So they're there and you can, what to me is that says like, oh, there are more photos to look at. You know, sometimes an affordance like that is really nice. For some reason, the cursor has a cool effect on it. For some reason, you know, those are some of the things you're like, why not? I feel like we've talked about when we've done shows like this in the past that the very best pens, the ones that really blow up and are so good, they tend to have like extra details. Not extra maybe, but just they have all these details right. They've like, it seems like they've polished and polished and polished and polished. And so there's more. Like just this base effect is cool. I'm almost like criticizing myself. It's like sometimes I'll have a cool idea and I'll get the basic of it up. And then I want to like teach it and show people and stuff. But I don't like thoroughly polish the demo like these are.
Yeah.
And so I'm jealous, I think, or envious at least.
These absolutely have that wow factor that grabs a lot of attention, and they make for good videos. People, you know, share these on social media, and when it's made a cool video, it gets a lot more attention. This one, actually, you featured this one on our Instagram. So
I know, I remember doing it. I'm like, oh, this is one of the videos I shot.
See. You could see a star in the making.
Yeah. What else we got?
Well, we also have another concave gallery. There's something about that concave look that people like. This one's from Talk, and it is a very cool. I like the way that he's done this one in blues and reds, and kind of that like almost like the 3D glasses effect, you know. And that's
I don't know. It makes me like think of Talking Heads or something, even though I don't know why.
Yeah, a little bit with those heavy lines in between all of the squares. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like one of their album covers actually. But this is but it's just another one of those cool galleries where you can scroll around, and it has a little bit of an indentation to it that gives it like a presence, like a bit of a body to it. This one's also got one of those little buttons in the corner that you can full screen it, and that's a really cool experience. Like the full screen of it is rad.
Like a little extra touch, right? Why not? It looks like something that's designed to be full screen. Why not just make it full screen? You know, very beautiful.
When you do that, it's really cool. You just grab it and spin it around.
It scrolls super beautifully. It credits the artist who created these images. It's got it goes left and right. So if you're just using your scroll wheel, make sure to grab it and spin it around. It's almost like you're in a sphere. Plus or minus zooms in and zooms out. Again, a lot of these little details that you might miss. But really make it beautiful. Really cool. WebGL is almost like I can almost tell if a pen says WebGL in the title of it or a tag or something that it's like going to be cool.
Times out of 10, I'm going to love it. Yeah, WebGL is so interesting. And the people that are working with it are doing really cool things.
Yeah.
Always have been. Thankfully,
we have so many interesting people that like they know it well and handwrite them. You know, they're artists.
Absolutely. You know? Yes. Yeah. We have an incredible WebGL artist community on CodePen. They are geniuses. I love what they do. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They're better than the stuff I've seen in museums.
Yeah. There needs to be more.
And I go to a lot of them.
Yeah, you do. I happen to know where you vacation, Marie. we have this next one from Chris Bolson, who I can shout out as being a big part of the 2.0 demo and has been very helpful in helping us, refine and perfect the 2.0 editor. So thanks, Chris. This is it's called the Circular Animation Timeline Scroll Gallery. So similar in respect to some of these where it's not just a flat row. In fact, none of these are a flat horizontal row.
Not a single one of them. Nope.
This one almost looks like you'll remember the name of it surely. Like you're a kid and you put it up to your eyeballs and then one of your fingers clicks it down and there's these circular discs that you put in. You like buy one for Snow White and you put it in there and go and it moves to the next image. Gosh, what was that called?
I forget what they're called.
No, but you'd know they're red for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like you were looking at a disc like that, only instead of like looking through the device, you were just kind of holding it really close to your face.
I remembered what it was called. Those were called ViewMasters.
ViewMaster. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. What a cool thing, you know?
Boy, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, right? It seems like somebody would do it like a really pretentious wedding or something. And he's like, oh, we don't have a normal photo wall. You have to use these ViewMasters to look at the pictures.
Sounds pretty rad, actually. But yeah, you're right. It does have that same appearance of the rotating circle. But what's cool about this one, and it kind of straddles the line between the cool things about galleries and also the cool stuff that's going on in CSS, new stuff going on in CSS, is that this highlights animation timeline.
Oh, is that how this works? Oh.
Yep. It's in the title, man.
Oh, yeah. Duh. I read the title out loud.
You did.
Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing. Animation timeline is super cool. Oh, and it's cool because it's the whole page too. Because it's sometimes these scroll driven animations are like, I just read something recently that was like, they're so much more useful. The ones that are like, which particular element is visible on the page at a time is like a more interesting kind of scroll driven animation than the kind that's just like, I don't know, return me the progress of the scroll position of the entire page and I'll do something. That's like a little bit useful. But the demo that you always see is like a little bar that shows the reading progress of the site. You know, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, that's also what a scroll bar is. So, not super useful. Whereas this uses that and has an amazing effect with it. So, you're like, how about this use case, suckers?
I really like this one.
Very beautiful. And speaking of Chris, he's got the first demo in the next section too. We're going to get to that in just a second, but I'll say that this show is sponsored by Notion, which is really cool to me because we use the crap out of Notion at CodePen. No regrets there. With the launch, recent launch of this thing they have called Custom Agents, Notion became the collaborative AI workspace where teams and agents work side by side. And now their new developer platform is turning that workspace into infrastructure developers can build on. So these custom agents are a relatively new feature. They're new to me. You know how you make one? It's not this like, oh God, I have to learn how AI coding works. No, you just say stuff into a box. You can be like, hey, every week, us here at Team CodePen, we put together a weekly document for each other to read about what we did that week. Well, that comes from a lot of different sources and stuff, but one of those sources is just Notion itself. And you could just go into an agent and type, you know, every Wednesday, send me a little message here in Notion that is a recap of everything that I've done. Any new pages I've created or edited or changed the status of or whatever. Just send me that. That way, when I'm creating my document, which I do with my own words, I have this thing of like, it reminds me of all the stuff that I did in Notion to do, which is kind of cool. But have you ever seen like other teams that are like, I don't know, they have to do a daily stand-up or something like that? And it happens in Slack. I saw a team once that they get pinged by this robot in Slack that's like, you know, tell the team what you did today and what you're going to do tomorrow or whatever. That's a programmatic thing. But Notion has all these connectors to GitHub and Slack and any app you can imagine, really. These agents, after you've made them, are little programmatic concepts themselves. So you could program your agent to be like, oh, when I get pinged in Slack, have this agent run and remind me all the stuff that I did so I can go type it up in Slack. It's like there's triggers and stuff like that. They can be on a cron job or they can be triggered by other events. I think that's really powerful. Learn more about Notion's developer platform today at notion.dev/codepen. That's all lowercase letters, notion.dev/codepen to try Notion's developer platform today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show, CodePen Radio, notion.dev/codepen. All right, so what this is it. This is the single element one. The one you're going to get this time.
The single element one?
Yeah, it's custom select. It's just a select thing. Right. It's not a button. It is just a single element for the most part, even though what you do with it can be off the charts.
Yes, and that's the really fun kind of almost like sneaky thing about this, the custom select, because it falls back in browsers that don't support custom select to just a regular select menu. Nothing's weird about it. Like, it just totally works normally in browsers that don't support appearance-based select, which is the right now it's Chrome only, but it is people are doing really fun things with this, like funny things.
You just take a regular like angle brackets select menu, which is fallbackable, as Marie said. There was a time when it wasn't going to be, so I just like to shout out little web dev stories like that. This is a much better solution. So when you have a select, you say appearance-based select on it. Even that has a little story that I'll neglect to tell you this time. But now that you've done that, you can do anything you want in CSS to this thing, which is kind of maybe what we should have got to begin with. But
really and truly, anything you want, the things that people are doing are absolutely crazy, like full-on interfaces with just a select menu. So for example, Chris Bolson, who we were just talking about with his animation timeline gallery, he did one where you can select a F1 driver from a menu, and it's just like a full-on photo menu with, you know, every one of these guys' headshots and their name, and you know, you can hover over it, and it's got a hover effect on the actual option. So it's like it's a full like web interface inside of, like you said, a single element.
It's
didn't
wild.
Catch it first time.
Because it makes sense. Oh yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean to throw you off. But it feels like how it should be. You know, like this is a part of a form. You're selecting it. This will submit like any other select menu does with the value of the, in this case, F1 driver that you've selected. Just as a regular old select. And you're styling it, just being like, oh, when it's open, it should look like this, and make the drivers in a grid and have it look like this. It's like not wild CSS. It's the CSS you'd use for anything else. Mm-hmm. But it just feels really weird that you're like, oh, I'm sorry, these little drivers are angle bracket option elements that I didn't even think about styling in the past. Those were so off limits to style that you'd be like incredibly amazed if, you know, I think it, at one point Firefox supported like the background color and color on them. And you'd be like, whoa, weird.
Like that was exciting.
And now you're like, wow, you can do absolutely anything. It's so, so cool.
You can do practically anything. And so this one from Chris is just really slick, really, really nice. And this I could see actually being used in a site. The next one, though, that I want to talk about.
This is in the 2.0 editor, by the way. Good job, Chris.
That one is in the 2.0 editor, which is awesome. Yeah, it's, I think, is even cooler because of that. But the next one I want to talk about that is also with Custom Select is Tamani Afif's Select Your Fruit, which is really funny because it starts out just looking like a regular select menu, or actually just like a button. Yeah. And then you press it and you have been given a rifle to shoot shoot your favorite fruit. And when you do, you select one. But what's great, again,
oh,
is
that's
that
funny. Is that the Doom shotgun? I think it
is. Yeah, it looks like I think so. But it's just like, it's completely goofy and such a strange way to do this. But it's like, that's Tamani's mind. He's always coming up with the most interesting approach.
Yeah. So imagine, people, it's like a select that's just sitting there. Looks like a button, like Marie said. You click it and then the open state of the select is just 100% of the viewport, width and height. You know, you got the whole screen to play with. And now each one of those options becomes a little circle. Just, you know, border radius 50% or whatever, but it's got an animation applied. Each one of them has a different animation that lets it bounce around the screen like a DVD menu, you know, but they're all different and they're all in different places. Why not? Like, these are, just think of them as a div, even though it's an option. I know I'm like incredulous about this. I'm like, it's unbelievable. The option is like a div, but it's true.
Hey, we've been working with options for a long time. Okay.
Yeah. And so they're flying around the screen and he didn't even do anything special. As you click the click target, it just moves along with the animation like it normally would. So if you can catch up with your mouse, which is now turned into a target, by the way, which is hilarious, if you can get a click on it, that just becomes the selected element. It's so like understatedly great. I mean, he didn't even like attempt to really optimize the CSS, and it's 100 lines long.
No, it's really impressive, and it's funny. And if you open it in a browser that doesn't support it, it's just a regular old select menu. So that's the really nice thing about that, is that these fall back. You can play with it in Chrome, but they fall back to normal.
You need to understand and like this. Ooh, I'm looking at the people who have loved it, and it's all a bunch of really classy people that I respect.
The cool people who read the Spark and see our blue sky, they're hip to what's going on.
Uh-huh. All right. So Custom Selects is cool. I'd like to see even more of that if I could. Like, that's amazing. I mean, you know, remember in the past, there was just a checkbox hack was like the one interactive thing you could do in CSS. And people are like, I made a whole game, you know? That's why I saw Ben Evans on that like list. And Ben has made some crazy CSS games, but
sure
with
has.
Just the checkbox hack. I'm like, these days you don't even need that. You could make an amazing game as Tamani has here, but you like imagine that like times 100, like some people take things to. This could be an aspect of a whole HTML and CSS game. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay. What else do we got?
Well, we have a lot of cool stuff going on with shapes and specifically CSS shape. And border shape and corner shape. We are getting so much cool stuff. This began last year, and it was actually starting to trend in the pens that made the top 100 last year, but there's only more of it now. And it's been really exciting to see this grow and to see people really experiment with it and create interesting things. Una Kravets, of course, has been doing all kinds of really awesome stuff with it. She's on the Chrome team. And she had a pen recently that's relatively new. So this one's kind of a new entry to the popularity, but it's demonstrating shape in shape outside. So shape outside, which we've had for a long time, you can now use the CSS shape function inside of it, which opens up a ton of possibilities.
Right. It used to only respect, I don't know, shape outside would take like polygon. So if you had a shape that was like, I don't know, a person's face in profile, you had to kind of fake it and be like dot, 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 dot with polygon. I know that's hard to imagine, but you're like, you couldn't really do the curves of a person's face with shape outside. because we didn't have a primitive that allowed that. And now we have shape. So we totally do. Shape, the function, is a, it's a primitive in CSS. So it doesn't just work with shape outside. It works with clip path. It works with offset path, I think. And all, and now the new border shape, which we haven't mentioned yet, but is probably the coolest thing on here. But I like when we get a really good primitive. It makes me think, like, what? I remember when I heard about it, I was like, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? CSS got its own perfect interpolation of basically the D attribute and SVG, which went on the path attribute, which was just a mathematical way to be able to draw anything. It's like, imagine you put a pen down on a programmatic piece of paper. There are enough instructions in the syntax for that D attribute and SVG that you could make that thing go anywhere and do anything. There's no limit to what it could do, but it never really mapped that nicely to CSS. It was because it was based in pixels. So you couldn't say, like, go all the way to the right side of the page, except for minus 2M. Like, that, there's no way to express that in SVG, because SVG was only concerned with its view box coordinates. So when you used it in CSS, it was just like, how about pixels? You like pixels, you know? And then it was like, cool, but not that cool. Shape is like everything that we could do in the D attribute in SVG ported over to the units and abilities of CSS. It's awesome.
It really is. And yeah, we're right at the beginning of it still.
There's
a lot of new experimentation being done with it, but a lot more can be done. So if you want to catch my attention, work with shape.
Yeah, work with shape. And Una explains in this next one what border shape is. So just think of it like clip path. I mean, don't think of it like that. I'm going to explain the difference, but you can imagine what that did, right? It was like, it takes an element and then you give it something, you give it a new shape, which was in the past was often polygon or inset or something like that, and it would chip away at the image you've already given it. So if you wanted to draw like a speech bubble thing with a little tail on it, which was really common, and that's what Una is demonstrating here, you'd use clip path to do it. But as soon as you use clip path, the side effects are high. You can't do a shadow. You can't do a border. You can't do an outline. All this stuff just, it literally just gets clipped away, which makes sense because that's what clipping is.
Yeah, it's clipping. Yeah.
Right. So along comes border shape that takes all the same values that clip path did, only in, it doesn't clip it. It just changes the shape of the element. So your border comes along with it. Your outline comes along with it. Your shadows come along with it. It's great. It's
Yes, it is for stuff like that. And that's brand new. That is brand new. So that's super exciting to see. Right. And this is an excellent, this pen in particular is just a really excellent tool for getting your mind around it. Just, you know, playing around with the sliders, trying out the different position for it. You really get the picture of how this works. So it's an excellent demo as always. I mean, she never gives us anything but the best.
Yep. I would mention that it does still kind of clip. If you happen to choose for your shape something that impedes on the content of what's inside of it, it will clip it away. But it then just use some of Una's other thing, shape outside. We'll push it in then, you know, like they all work together kind of. Which is really neat. I do kind of wish border shape like automatically made the text reflow and stuff inside of it, but alas, it does not. But you know, still super cool. Love it. Chip it. Yay.
Very
awesome. What else? I know you're going to mention corner shape. Is that used in this next one?
This one is actually shape, just shape straight up, clip path shape. Yeah.
Yeah, with clip paths, which is appropriate here because he's drawing like wild letters.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So this is a really cool one. It is actually it's exercises from a design challenge from the 1960s that were in what was called the Hoffman's Graphic Design Manual. And it was something that was, it was like built around a grid and the designer was encouraged to make letters around this grid. And it would create a situation where you're making really kind of strange abstract looking letters. And so what we have here is actually that grid being filled with letter like shapes. They're you know, a little like wacky looking, but it's
all a four by four grid of circles, which is so weird for letters because you're like, okay, A, how am I going to do A? Oh, immediately there's no middle row. So your A is for sure going to be all janky immediately. I don't know. It's very hard to explain, but it makes every single letter drawn in this case. But you could imagine if you had a 4x4 grid of letters. In fact, my second grader could do this, you know, embrace this 4x4 grid to do it. It doesn't look like there's like super strict rules because you can like cut right through one of the circles if you want. But it looks kind of like you should use as many of these circles spirit as you can. Wow, what an amazing, I had not seen this one before. This is awesome.
Oh, this one is so rad. Yeah. So, and this one, in the description of the pen, there's a link to the article that tells you all about the design manual that it's based on. And it's really worth checking that out just because it's cool to think about, you know, how designers have been challenged through generations to really think inside the 4x4 grid, I guess. So that one's really rad.
Yep. Fantastic. So we're moving on to another topic here, which is there's a little bit more of the scroll timeline stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scroll timeline, which we actually haven't talked about at all yet, but we had talked about animation timeline earlier. Tamani Afif used animation timeline again. Tamani, of course, if you're not following Tamani, you should be because he's doing some of the most interesting stuff out there right now. But he did a CSS, like only CSS, interactive Super Mario World. So you like can actually just walk across and jump up and hit the boxes with your head and all of that.
Nice.
But it's just straight up CSS, nothing else. And of course, it's obviously not just animation timeline. Tamani never just does one thing. There's a whole bunch in there, but that one's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, which is important because I really think the combination of these technologies is kind of the truly unlocking feature of it all. Like it's always cool to see one demo because then you're wrapping your mind around, you're like, oh, I get it. This is what this technology enables. But then, you know, a lot of times, or maybe just my feeble brain sometimes is like, I don't immediately be like, well, this plus a details element, you know, plus scroll buttons could unlock this wild combination of stuff. But it does.
It does.
When you add a second amazing technology, it unlocks, let alone three or four. Unbelievable. So what's this one?
So the other one is from Daniel Haim, and it is just a really elegant example of scroll timeline. I like this one for its simplicity. It's kind of funny putting it side by side with Tamani's because this is just a, you know, elegant look. It's you scroll and you see a list of the things that it starts with I build on the left. And then as you scroll, it's I build products, I build platforms, I build interfaces. And it has a really cool look. Like the color changes as you scroll. It's really slick but understated in a way that I really like.
Yeah, it's nice type. What is that font?
That is nice.
it's like a classic that I should know, but I don't know it offhand.
Font Family Web Font Sans Serif. Is it just system fonts?
Oh no. Okay. Are we looking
at
now? We must look. It's called Outfit Thin. I haven't seen it, but it feels very familiar, like,
yeah,
like you should know. Anyway, yeah, beautiful. It changes color, but only a little bit and subtly.
Yeah.
And what's familiar about it is that this is actually kind of like a common trope-ish kind of thing. You just haven't seen it done this way. But, you know, you've seen like personal websites that are like, you know, or like a SaaS app that's like, this is for, you know, developers, designers, marketing professionals, and it switches out the words, but this is using a scrolling to do it. Very cool.
Yeah, and it's a perfect example of that extremely useful UI element. People use it all the time.
Indeed. All right, so there's more. Sometimes technology drives what these trends are, and that was what was happening with the select menu and shape and stuff like that, and there's more to come, right? Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so much that is just hitting baseline this year. There is brand new stuff coming out. It's a super exciting time to be playing around with this stuff, and so it's very, very gratifying to see what everybody's doing with it, especially that they've decided to bring it here to CodePen.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Jane Ori's article here about at function, which is cool. I think it's going to be a little series of articles, but that's like a enabling powerful thing coming to CSS that's not directly like, it doesn't paint anything to the screen in a way that some of these technologies do, but is a powerful enabler of CSS stuff. So sometimes, you know, the stuff that trends on CodePen tends to be pretty visual. But I would suspect that we'll see that. And obviously, CodePen is a place for experimenting with stuff that doesn't necessarily have to be visual either.
Absolutely. I mean, in Jane's article at Frontend Masters, there's just one pen. It's pretty simple, but it helps you get the picture. And that's an excellent tutorial. We'll have that listed in the show notes. Jane has been doing some truly mind-blowing stuff with just expanding what is possible with CSS.
Like just to a level that I don't even, it's just from
to a level that is really almost beyond belief. It is worth taking some time to read what she is sharing, because she is sharing some tremendous work.
If I said it was from outer space, I think Jane would appreciate that, so I'm gonna say
right
it.
On
cool right on. And that's it, I guess. Like, have fun on CodePen, you know, like, if you're going to use AI, go right ahead. It's fine with me, you know, but maybe ask it to do cool stuff. Like, tell it to experiment with border shape, you know, make it work for you. Yeah. all right. What else do you guys at the end? Is that it? I think we covered a lot.
You know, well, I will say this, you know, we are just at the middle of the year and there is still a whole bunch of time left. Also, if you are listening and you want to get into the top 100, the summertime is quiet. If you got a little time, you're trying to get out of the heat, you know, make something, get something out there.
You could be the most popular pen of the summer.
Exactly. Listen, we've had people get on the top 100 who made the pen in December, right? Like, it's you can definitely get on now if you're trying to cool down. You know, you're vacation is not as fun as you thought it was going to be. Just pop open that laptop.
You wake up because you had a weird dream. I feel like it's time to code
exactly.
it.
Yeah, put what was in the weird dream in the pen, because I will just absolutely love that.
Yeah, maybe that could be a challenge. Code your dreams.
Could you imagine? I think we might be opening up a can of worms we don't want to open.
Like, all these pens have to be private.
Yeah.
The gallery will be empty. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining me and thanks for putting this together, Marie. And we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.